Inner Voice, a heartfelt chat with Dr. Fujian.
Are you a psychotherapist looking to enhance your practice? The Awareness Integration Therapy developed by Dr. Fujian Zeng is a comprehensive guide to the principles and techniques of this powerful therapeutic approach. Join the growing community who have elevated their practice and expanded their skills by embracing Awareness Integration Therapy and witnessing its life-changing impact. Order your copy on Amazon now.
Do you wish to wake up one day and hit the Life Reset button? Life Reset, the awareness integration path to create the life you want by Dr. Fujian Zeng, helps you navigate crucial life areas, heal the past traumas, and cultivate fulfilling relationships and careers. Life Reset is your guide to a profound journey to reshape your life. Grab your copy on Amazon or Audible now and embark on a path to a more joyous and fulfilled life.
Welcome to the Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Fujian Zeng, a psychotherapist and author and a creator of the Awareness Integration Theory. I am so thrilled to have you join us today for what promises to be an insightful and a passionate discussion. In this episode, I chat with Victor Trio, who's a founding team member of the Pathfinder Club and also works as a youth mentor, employing his deep understanding of the impact of incarceration on individuals. First, as the son of a man who was in prison throughout Victor's childhood, and later as a prisoner himself. At the age of 19, Victor received a life sentence that was reversed after he had been incarcerated for 21 years. He's a powerful advocate for children of the incarcerated. And in June 2023, became the program coordinator for the Pathfinder Club and POPS Club. And we also talk to Tyler. He's a student that is joining our group, Tyler Stonebreaker. He's 17 years old, and he's in high school senior from Park Rose High School in Portland, who has been struggling from poverty all his life. He had nobody to look up to, but is trying to turn around his life. He's a member of the Pathfinder Club at Park Rose. He shares his writing. He shares who he is and what he's done and what he's offering today through the Pathfinder Club. It's an amazing conversation. I felt truly heartfelt, very inspiring. And I hope that you enjoy this conversation as much as I do and learn from it and be able to be supportive and support in any way that you can, whether it's in your own community or this club, if you choose to support this club, or create programs anywhere, even in your own family system, to sit there with your youth and talk and see what their needs are. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast and my YouTube channel and connect with me through my website, fujianzeng.com, or any of my social media platforms. Share your thoughts with me. I'd love to hear from you. So without further ado, here are Victor and Tyler.
Intentional Parenting, a practical guide to awareness integration theory, written by Dr. Jafari, Dr. Fujian Zeng, and Dr. Manukian, three experts in human development, is your step-by-step guide to raising a healthy child prepared for a culturally integrated world. You're supported in parenting infants to adolescents using the latest evidence-based scientific research on parenting. Order your copy on Amazon now.
Eliminate stress, reduce anxiety, and decrease depression. Dr. Fujian Zeng's awareness integration theory has helped thousands like you get incredible life-changing results. The Fujian app gives you her evidence-based treatment in the palm of your hand. Download today.
Well, I am so thrilled to have the two of you with me, everyone. I have Victor Trio and Tyler Stonebreaker from Pathfinder Network. And I know that we're going to share a little bit about what's going on with the Pathfinder Club. So, Victor, I'm going to give the floor to you to start.
Yeah, well, thank you for having us. We're excited to be here. I'm with Tyler sitting right next to me. And I have the honors just to be able to, talk about the amazing work that we're doing. The Pathfinder Network, it's a nonprofit that's been out here in Portland, Oregon for the last 30 years. And I'm fascinated to say that I'm a program coordinator for the Pathfinder Club and Pops the Club. And what the club just is there for, I wouldn't say just, but I mean, because it's a powerful club, it's there just to support students that have been impacted by incarceration, deportation, or detention. We believe at the Pathfinder Club that, you know, we pave a trail from hurt and harm to hope and healing. And we do that through an arts-based curriculum, writing, drawing, having guest speakers come in and share stories of resilience. And it's a wonderful club that helps to be able to navigate the shame and stigma attached to incarceration.
Beautiful. Thank you. Taylor, I want you to also introduce yourself.
Yeah. All right. So I've been a part of this club since it started basically 3 years ago. And so I put in like a lot of work. We do like a lot of writing and like art stuff that helps really like, well, because I've like for a while I was ashamed of like what I go through and all of that. And so the Pathfinder Club has really just helped me see who I am as a person and like better myself and help me go through like healthier ways to like go through like healthier ways to deal with what I go through.
Beautiful. Thank you. Victor, please share what your perception is and the facts and the perception of what it is that creates most of the reasons for incarceration and the ages that your Pathfinder network really deals with.
Yeah, you know, I can actually speak from this from a personal experience, you know, growing up with having my father incarcerated throughout my childhood life. You know, it caused a lot of shame, caused a lot of hurt, a lot of sadness that ultimately turned into me yearning at a young age to want to follow in his footsteps. Like I was, you know, in hindsight, when I look back and I do a lot of processing and share my story, I had this deep yearning as a young teenager. Tyler 17, I had this yearning like when I was 12 or 13, you know, going into prison, seeing my dad. I said, hey, this is where I belong. You know, this is where I can be close to my dad. I want to come to prison too. And through the time of me processing and me actually understanding what were those factors that took a young man as myself to say, hey, I want to go to prison at this very young age. And it had to do with poverty, a lot of social determinants, you know, not access to healthcare, not access to programs. My mother was a single mother. She was struggling. She was trying to do her best, you know, and I remember just, you know, at times, you know, we didn't have food to eat. I remember going to school with the same clothes on every day. And ultimately, I became incarcerated myself. And one of the things is I really took advantage to take a look at, you know, the social factors of society. What can I do to make a difference? And when I was released, you know, over three and a half years ago, you know, I made it a passion, a point of mine to, you know, do this work so that I could support, like I say, young Victors and young Monicas that are growing up with those pains. And I was fortunate to land this job and be now a coordinator of these wonderful clubs that we run throughout all the country and to support the kids that I know firsthand what that shame and stigma feels like.
It's interesting of what you said, which not many people think of it that way, but thank you for sharing, which is at times, if that's the role modeling that we have, and that's who we see as a safe world because our father is there and we go see them and somehow we feel like that structure is safer for us than the outside because we don't know any other structure outside that would keep us safe. And it pulls us into that path. But it seems like when you did go to that path, as you came out, you found new purposes in the way of wanting to support for teens not to have that path. So that's beautiful. And Taylor, have you been incarcerated also?
No, I've had a lot of family members, like dozens of people in my life have been within the system, like doing like all that. And so like it really just affects my like every day seeing like people I love incarcerated.
Yes. And you shared about a feeling of shame that you had before you came to this program. Can you share with us what caused you to have that type of shame?
Yeah, so like going to school, like most of the people I would like hang out with weren't really like going through the same things I was. And so I was thinking that I'm like not normal for this and I'm like different from everybody else. So I should just keep that and hide it from everybody and then like deal with it when I get home.
Got it. So do the two of you think that the incarceration is because of many of the conversations you had, whether it's the shame or that the environment is abusive, it doesn't nurture you, and that part of that could lead into drug use and from drug use go and become incarceration, or the drug use and then, you know, doing something that gets you into trouble? And at that moment, is it the thrill of it? Is it more that you're coping with, you know, coping with something internally, and then you're acting in a way that would, you know, get you incarcerated? What is the path that you have experienced in the mind of a teenager that takes them from, you know, a location of being at home toward the act, then that becomes a crime, and then they're incarcerated?
You know, that's a powerful question. And, you know, the first thing that jumped out at my mind is the factors, you said, environment and coping. Through my own personal experience and through the hundreds of youth that I have worked with while incarcerated, I started a youth offender program while I helped co-create a youth offender program, and hearing the stories and the similarities, and then coming out here in society and working first as a mentor prior to me becoming a program coordinator for the Pathfinder Club. And the youth that I have worked with that are all been system impacted, they themselves are either incarcerated or their family members are incarcerated. The common consensus is coping. The common consensus is like, you know, hey, I've endured this life, and these are the only set of coping skills that I know how to endure. This is how I know how to process my anger. This is how I know how to process my shame. You know, I want to emulate. Yes, I want to use drugs. You know, yes, I want to go out and party. I want to do everything I can to take away that pain and that hurt. And unlike what we have started here at the Pathfinder Club and Popsicle Clubs, it's through art and through community that you see that you're not alone. And I know Tyler can speak to that. Like he was saying, like being around friends, same thing I had when I was growing up. When I was around friends, I was like, once I told him my dad was incarcerated, I'm not a cool kid no more. Or their parents would be like, you can't hang around with him. He's a bad kid. So those many of factors for me and my own experiences, you know, how do we cope as a society? How can we cope? How can we provide that direct service, that mentorship, so that that youth doesn't have to go down that path?
Yes. I used to work with a 17-year-old who the gang in the environment was trying to kind of bring him in. So they would poke at him and to get him to do like shooting or do different things. He wanted to run away. He was scared, but he couldn't because the gang was more powerful. And I remember at one point when we were talking, he said, I wake up in the morning and all I do is to look on my side to see, am I going to be killed or do I have to kill someone? And at one point he said, I wish that I could just go to the jail so I would feel safe. I mean, this was the environment that he was living in. And so with his parents, we decided to how we could change his environment. And, you know, he went to live with his uncle for a while in another location to be able to be away from the environment that was threatening him so much that he either had to give in, cope with his fear and anxiety every day of either being alive or take himself to a position where he never wanted to be. So yes, changing environment is so important. And I'm so grateful to, you guys and Pathfinders that are able to create this environment of safety where, teens and young adults can actually feel safe with each other, sit down and share their story and be who they are and, you know, kind of like reveal themselves and be okay, exactly like what you were sharing, Tyler, reveal myself, I am here. And there's nothing wrong with me, you know, like I'm great. Can you share a little bit about your experience as you have been in Pathfinders and how you have created yourself to be out there and feeling good about you?
Yeah. So like, I feel like with the art that we do, because I was not coping with like anything in a good way. It was like mainly just like doing whatever I could do to survive where I live, because we don't have anything. So It's been like really helping me like just realize, like I said earlier, who I am as a person, and like that there's more to life than just my neighborhood and like what they do there to survive, and that I do have a future, and I don't have to like die for like people or get killed.
Yeah.
Very true. Very true. I was just listening to a TED talk with a woman who is also a chemical dependency counselor with the youth. And she was talking about Iceland bringing the factors of bringing all of the parents together and kind of requesting and, you know, pressuring them that they have to have the time of, you know, adult time with their teens to be together and create these role modelings and connection. And then a lot of activity where the teens wouldn't be bored, that they could be with their peers, with their friends, and doing a lot of activity, doing sports, doing art. And I'm also sensing that that's what you do in Pathfinder. You're bringing the adults to the adults who have gone through some stuff and have prevailed, who have come out and have succeeded in that, and bringing their experiences to the teen and bringing creative activities where each person can find themselves. So Victor, can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, I got a little goosebumps when you were saying that, because I think the conversation thus far that we're having is like really highlighting the fact of, you know, how environmental factors, how, you know, coping skill factors, if they're not in place, you know, you find yourself going down that road of, you know, landing in incarceration. And as you're talking about, like, you know, building the community, what we do at the Pathfinder Club is every year we publish an anthology. And this year we just got through publishing on February 13th, our ninth anthology called Advice to Ninth Graders. Tyler, as he was saying earlier, you know, when he first came to the club, he wasn't really interested in writing. He just liked the fact that a lot of the kids, we provide a meal. One of our missions or our glorious things for invitation is that we always have a meal at every club, whether it be some pizza, Subway, home-cooked meal. We believe in the power of breaking bread, you know, lows down those barriers where you could feel like, you know, hey, you could be a connection. And the thing that I know myself and a lot of our sponsors, or the vast majority of our sponsors, is we're just encouraging the students to feel safe, build community, hear stories, know that you're not alone, express yourself on paper through writing or through art. And we get this masterpiece every year. We get to publish a book with all their stories, their wisdom, their education, their experience. And Tyler did have some pieces available if you all wanted to hear them, if you're a population would like to hear them. But it's just amazing to be able to come in and see the resilience being built as time goes on. You see the smile start lighting up. You start saying, like, Tyler's wearing a shirt today. I don't know if you can see it. Lift your shirt up. Pathfinder Club. So we've been like giving swag out, you know, where they could feel like validated, like, hey, you know, I'm a member of a club. I'm not a member of a gang. I'm not a member of, you know, X, Y, and Z. I'm a member of a club. And this is how I'm able to channel, you know, my hurt, my pain, my shame, my stigma. And that's some of the other thing is Tyler is also, he's a director. Last year we partnered with the Outside the Frame and we did two short videos. So Tyler and Jaden, they wrote and directed a film called It's Okay Not to Be Okay. And it was just so powerful. So yeah, those are the activities that we get to do.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I love to hear about the films. Share more about it, please, Taylor.
Yeah.
So, over the summer we did this, film intensive for like 2 weeks. And like, I had this really good idea for like this film of showing that, like what I was, kind of like what I was talking about earlier with like the home life and like trying to be okay at school. And so like it really highlights the like three different students that are like going through something at home. And then like just like showing that it is okay to be not okay.
Mm-hmm.
It was so bone chilling where they actually worked with directors that, you know, who directed on Netflix, on commercials. Outside the Frame is a wonderful organization. And they had professionals, but what they did through that 2 week intensive is they gave the students, we had 12 students, we made two films. They gave them their autonomy to write it. And all they did was help them perfect it. So Tyler was actually directing the actors. You know, I was actually an actor in the film. He was like, okay, Vic, do this. Sherry, do this. Cheyenne, do this. It was just so amazing to then be able to see, like, hey, their vision that they had became a reality on film. And I would love to share those with you too. They're on our Facebook page.
Oh, absolutely. I love to have the link so that I would put it here. And so people who are watching us afterward, they can actually go through the link and find it.
Perfect. Yeah.
You talked about Tyler not being okay. And then it's okay not to be okay. Can you share the experience of not being okay? And then what it feels like then to become okay with that?
Yeah. So I was like, so you're talking about like, there's like the feeling or, yeah.
The thought process, the feeling that comes with it, some things that you might do when you're not feeling okay versus when you are.
Yeah. So like when I'm not feeling okay, so like I live in poverty, like my neighborhood's not the greatest. There's like a lot of shooting and stuff. And so like, I tend to like, get like just really my feelings about it, like where I just don't care about nothing anymore. And so like when I go to the club, like it really shows that like I'm not alone. And so like when I'm feeling better, it's like I tend to care about life more, like whether I do live or die. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
there's a purpose then. Okay. Yeah. The hopelessness of what's the point. Like the environment is so harsh that I can't survive, or I don't want to survive in this environment. Then you go into another level of hope where there is something that I'm good for, that I'm helping, that I'm supporting, that I'm sharing. So you find your usefulness and a purpose to live. And that brings hope.
Yeah.
And you're bringing this hope to others who might, for any reason, whether it's poverty or trauma or anything that is, you know, depression, anything that they're going through, that they can see that the hope can be there and somehow, somewhere where they look inside and find the community that together creates, gives them the skill, gives them the opportunity in order for them to show who they are, to access who they are in a place of safety. And that's where you create those programs, Victor.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, oh gosh, this conversation is so good. Just hearing your perspectives too, and in line of what our mission is, that, you know, we at the Pathfinder Network, you know, our mission is one of the things that attracted me to get hired here was, you know, the fact of that, you know, we believe, you know, that all people are worthy of change and in second chances, you know, and, you know, just to provide individuals and families with the support they need to be safe and thrive, you know, and I know the mission like in the back of my hand, because it's like, when I'm out in the field, you know, when I call it the field, when I'm out working, doing direct service or, you know, going to the club, I'm always channeling how it was for me and how I was able to build my resilience. So I'm going in there with an open mind that I could listen, you know, that I could just be present and could listen. Sometimes kids don't want me to give advice. Sometimes they don't want to hear what I have to say, but rather I'm just being present. I have a smile. I have a genuine heartfelt desire just to want to support. And that's, you know, the clubs that, you know, I get to travel. So I've been to Georgia and I've been to Los Angeles where we have clubs. And the thing about the club, the atmosphere is that you just feel calm. You feel the peace. You see students laughing and diving into writing or sharing about this, sharing about that. And it's just so heartfelt to be able to know that these clubs exist and I'm able to be a part of it.
There's such a beauty in storytelling when you share who you are in a story level so that other people can hear it. You know, as human beings, we used to, when there was no electricity, computers, you know, phones, people used to sit together every night when it got dark beside the fire and used to share what was going on all day with them, you know, and they went through and each person kind of shared whether they were, you know, they were hunting an animal to eat or they were afraid that the animal would hunt them and get, you know, eaten up. So this concept of sharing who you are and bringing it in each person, having this way of creativity that shows up, you know, sometimes it's through like poetry, sometimes it's through art, sometimes it's through just sharing your words. Mm-hmm. all of that, it seems like it transfers information that we experience to another human being. And I think that kind of connection is what's needed, because the connection will give us some hope. Some that we, like you said, you're not alone. I'm not alone anymore. I'm not in this pain alone. We're together. Together, we're more resilient. We can figure this out. And if you have a skill and I have another skill and we share it together, now we have a bunch of skills that we could all use and kind of like move forward with that. There's really a beauty in what you're doing. And you said you have different locations, not only in Oregon, but in Los Angeles and somewhere else.
Yes, in Los Angeles, New York, and Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. You know, as you were saying right now, like, you know, here in Portland at the Pathfinder Club, we partnered with Portland Bureau of Transportation, and we learned about placemaking. With our students from the Pathfinder Club and Elevate Oregon, we had a cohort of 15 students that got to do this wonderful project to make their streets safer. The project was called Think Outside the Box for Our Blocks. And it was about ways of how can student creativity reduce gun violence through placemaking. And when we learned about placemaking, the common consensus we took away as a collective was that society don't sit down and just share no more. Don't have like this, like a wonderful conversation like this. Imagine just sitting right there at the local corner with a cob bench on a bench and just sharing and talking, the power of it. So the students got to learn about that too over the summer too.
There's such a beauty in the sharing. There's a fear that happens when you are on the street. Like the Tyler was, you were talking about, you know, I live in an environment that is poverty stricken, and then the resources are not that much. And then there's fear as you go. And then you were sharing, Victor, about, you know, the experience you had as a child going to school and watching what was going on and not feeling that you belong. So one of the things I keep hearing from both of you and many of the kids that I work with is the sense that we just don't feel that we belong. And then we don't know what to do with this not belonging. And I'm sensing that a place like Pathfinder also creates that sense of community and belonging, where, like you said in your film, that we each feel we're not okay and we don't belong to this bigger group. And then if all of us come in together, knowing that we don't feel that we're okay, but somehow accept each other, not only accept each other's vulnerabilities, but also accept each other's resilience, skills, things that we each had in order to survive these hard times and the environment that we live in. And it seems like you guys are sharing this type of resilience with each other. Not only you share your vulnerability with each other so that we know we're not alone, but you're also sharing your skills and resilience with each other. And that's a way of how the community is building with new projects also, right?
Yeah, well, you're exactly right. You're exactly right on the spot. You know, one of the things that you you uplifted that, you know, I previously or Tyler didn't mention is like the sense of belonging. You know, our clubs are designed where that we want everyone to feel inclusive. You know, we look at perspectives where we uphold diversity, equity, inclusion, and justice and belonging. And, you know, when you come into the club, you know, that's exactly the type of environment that you're going to come into. You know, you're going to feel comfortable. You're going to feel welcomed. You know, folks don't share right away. Tyler didn't become this amazing writer right away. But now, I mean, I collect all the artwork throughout the country, all the writing throughout the country. And at the year end, I always got a stack from Tyler about that big because he writes so much. You want to talk a little bit about your writing and what it means to you and, you know, how has it helped you in club?
Yeah, so writing has really just helped me, like, cope with my feelings and, like, really feel like I'm heard as a person and that I'm not alone. And so, like, when I write, I tend to, like, really just, like, be in the zone and be able to put my feelings out on paper instead of acting out in anger or anything else.
Can you share some of your writings with us?
Yeah,
here, I got a piece right here.
This is the one right here that that just inspires so many people. Here's the book right here. Tyler's name on there, it says Tyler Stonebreaker. And he has about five pieces in here, but this is the one right here that it just speaks to so many hearts when we're able to talk about the book and share the work that we're doing.
Yeah.
Take your time, okay?
All right, this one's titled Pain to Motivation. No money for rent, my mom's stressing, smoking weed to try to get out of her head. She doesn't deserve all the pain she has to go through. One day I want to get out of poverty. Pain is a deep feeling of hopelessness that can break you, but you got to use it as motivation or it can eat you alive.
Wow. That is powerful words. Thank you. Thank you. So where can people find that book?
So the book is called Advice to Ninth Graders, and you can go to popsclubs.org. So that's popsclubs.org, popsclubs.org. Or you can go to thepathfindernetwork.org. The book, I actually have it by my bedside. I read it, you know, me even as a person, you know, who's obtained the resilience, but still, you know, there's days where, you know, you just feel like, you know, you're not enough. And hey, you feel like, what am I doing? Or, you know, and I always pop open a page, and it's just so inspiring to be able to see that, you know, I've been able to be a part of this great mission, this great community building, this great, you know, providing hope and belonging to students. And yeah, the book just really speaks to my heart because it's so well put together, and over 100 student authors are in it.
Mm-hmm. Victor, I see the essence of love and gratitude in your face and tone when you talk. Not only you've taken on a great deal of responsibility, but it's something that it seems like you're made for. It gives you juice of life, in a sense. And just when you say that, when you talk, it's like this shine comes through your facial expression, and it's so much with love. It's so much with like this greatness, grandness, not grandness out of ego, but grandness out of like love and connection, you know. It's like that's, and I think that's pretty much also what heals, like that essence of connection through love. And I think that heals also a lot of the pain that, Tyler, you were talking about, knowing that you could be somewhere where people have experienced the pain, but the pain hasn't just created darkness. The pain, they were able to create the light in between all the darkness and hold on to that and hold on, you know, and give it to others. So part of, like, Tyler, what you're writing is you write from the darkness into the lightness, in a sense of opening your heart and being to other people. And I sense that when you guys talk about this, like the glow shows up. And I think that's the beauty, is like, how do we live ourselves and how do we enjoy the life that we're offering to others, or we're preaching to others, or we're helping or supporting or creating the environment for?
Right. That was very meaningful. Thank you so much for the recognitions, and, you know, for seeing me and Tyler as passionate about what we do. You know, I channel, like I said, I channel Little Vic. That young boy that was lost, that was hurt, you know, that didn't turn that pain and that shame into resilience, rather, you know, turned it into more pain. But as you said, you know, I was able to see the light, that pain that caused me. And through my stint of being away from home and incarceration, you know, I utilized it as a mechanism to really, you know, find out who I am. And I know my true self is, you know, I'm destined to, you know, do good work. And my passion is, you know, helping kids. You know, my passion is sharing my story. I was telling Tyler on the way over here, he got a little bad news, and I thanked him for sharing, you know. And a lot of the times when I talk to other providers or to, you know, juvenile justice counselors, Vic, how do we build that trust? How do we get them to open up? I said, one of the things is just be authentic.
Mm-hmm.
Said, come in and be authentic. And, you know, Tyler shared something really personal with me earlier, and I just looked at him and I said, you know what? I'm glad that I get to be in your life, and I'm glad that you can count on me, regardless how it may feel or what's going on. You know, you can count on me. And he goes, thank you, man. I appreciate it. And that spoke volumes. So, you know, the sincerity that's coming through the screen, you know, for you and hopefully for your audience. Yeah, it's totally authentic, and it's based on a common reality of what Tyler and I have in common growing up, and as he's grown up now, and how I grew up, and we're able to talk about it, share about it, and you know, heal from it.
Yes. Victor, what did you talked about being incarcerated yourself, and then when you came out, there was something that shifted in you. There's a moment that, you know, it's almost like a crossroad that we could go either way, right? What helped you? What enticed you to say, I've gone through hardship, and yet I'm gonna take this and shift it into health. I'm going to shift this into my own health and creating health for others who kind of have the same experience for me. What happened for you that shifted that for you? That instead of crossroad of going, you know, to one path, you went to another.
Yeah. And that's a deep question. So when I was in prison, you know, I was really heavily engaged in psychology. I asked psychologists, I was in therapy. And what I really needed to do for myself, and it took a while, was to heal. You know, I needed just to, you know, my mother tried his best. My father was incarcerated. You know, I was hurt. I had a lot of pain. But through forgiveness, that's just the simple answer I can say. And I mean, I know that's, it's not simple when we look at all the factors, especially, you know, what I've been through and what my students go through, my youth go through. But it's healing. It's process of healing and forgiving. And once you're able to forgive, you're able to say, okay, and that's what happened with me. When I was able to say, okay, I totally forgive, okay? And you know what? Now I have a choice. What do I want to do in my life? Because I'm not holding in this trauma. I'm not holding in this anger, this sadness, this rage, the hate. I can breathe now. And then I discovered the true self, which is an authentic human being who loves doing the work that I'm doing. And that I thrive on that every day. You know, I thrive on the fact that I'm an authentic human being. Yes, I have flaws, but you know what? I'm healed and I'm going to continue to heal. And it allows me to be able to do the work that I do.
Beautiful. And Tyler, what was the crossroad for you? What happened inside of you that you decided to join and then become, you know, yourself such a leader in this program? What was the shift?
Yeah, I feel like the shift is because like around the same time I started joining the program, something happened with my brother, which thankfully he's still alive, but it's like, it like really changed something inside of me. That's like, this is not the life I want to live anymore. I don't want to hurt my mom like that. I don't want to hurt my sister. I don't want to hurt anybody anymore. And I want to like better myself as a person and like, really like figure who I am, because I know this is not who I am.
And I'm sensing that you got it, that you matter, because if something happened to you, you were hurting other people who loved you, and it showed that you truly matter. And you're like, okay, if I matter, let me then do something which you know, emphasizes in a healthy environment. Good for you. I'm so proud of you guys. It's so amazing to have to see the resilience. People come from different trauma, and you know what we do, what shifts for us, when is it that we take that path in order to take care of ourselves and take care of others in that way. That's beautiful. When you were talking about therapy, you know, I've been a therapist for about 30 years, and you know, I developed a model. It's called awareness integration theory, which takes you know, looking at what we do, how we think and feel, you know, our past, how it incorporated in our life, and how we could create that kind of integration in order to create that kind of forgiveness and take responsibility the same way Tyler was talking about. Okay, I'm going to take responsibility about who I am and shift, and, you know, to create a new way of being, as the two of you have, and how effective that is to be able to make a decision about enough, make a decision about, I deserve to take care of myself and do something for it so that, that we can heal. And everyone, you know, kind of like responsibility is to be able to get healed. You deserve to be happy. And I'm grateful and thankful for you guys creating, and, you know, the founders also, to create this type of a program, which allows people to come in, to share, to get healed and share their healing, share their pain and their healing to the world. Anything we haven't shared that both of you feel like you want people to know?
I want to say one thing, and I was channeling it right now as I was thinking, like yourself, I could tell you're just a huge advocate and a positive example to be around. Our executive director, Leticia Longoria Navarro, lived experience, you know, grew up with her mother incarcerated, dad passed away at a very young age. And just the fact of she had this vision by going to Park Rose High School, where we have the club. And she, when she was going through there as a teen, there was no resources available to help her deal with her shame and her stigma and her hurts and her traumas. And just for one to be so resilient, to graduate college, come back in, become a head of a nonprofit, to say, I want to put this program into a school because I know how that felt firsthand. And somebody coming in myself, like, you know, having a background of incarceration and just feeling like I belonged from the organization that she oversees, is just so magnificent for the Pathfinder Network, what they have done for me and what they're doing for all the students that are enduring what I've endured as a child, you know? So it was just, it's so powerful. And I was just weighing on my thoughts this morning because our organization, they're just so helpful under great, great direction, leadership of Leticia.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Tyler, anything we haven't said that you really want people to know?
I would say, like, it's never too late to, like, change who you are and better your life. Mm-hmm. Like, no matter, like, how old you are, like, you're never too old or never too young to really make that switch.
Wow.
Beautiful. Both of you are very inspiring. How can people find you guys? Just go to pathfindernetwork.org?
Yeah, they can go to the pathfindernetwork.org. I'm Victor, or, you know, I have my personal email. It's Victor Trillo at the pathfindernetwork.org. But our wonderful communication manager, Kylie, if they reach out to the pathfindernetwork.org and, you know, they want to hear more from me and Tyler, or, you know, want to connect with us and, you know, as our journey is, as we just keep building a better society together and helping folks endure the traumas of the impacts of incarceration, you know, we're totally available.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And thank you all of you for creating an amazing time to be with us. Until next week, create an amazing life for yourself and everyone around you. Bye-bye.
Are you a psychotherapist looking to enhance your practice? The Awareness Integration Therapy developed by Dr. Fujian Zhang is a comprehensive guide to the principles and techniques of this powerful therapeutic approach. Join the growing community who have elevated their practice and expanded their skills by embracing Awareness Integration Therapy and witnessing its life-changing impact. Order your copy on Amazon now.
Break free from the forces holding you back. Get the life you deserve. Eliminate stress, reduce anxiety, decrease depression, and start living your full potential. Thousands have used Dr. Fujian Zhang's Awareness Integration Theory, an evidence-based behavioral health breakthrough with incredible life-changing results. Getting rid of past trauma, having fulfilling relationships, increasing earnings, and living their best life. Now, the Fujian app is available to everyone. The app is Dr. Fujian Zhang's Awareness Integration Theory in the palm of your hand. Download the Fujian app today.